Ow. Say that backwards. Wow. Oh, you laugh. Say, Pastor, you're so corny. I'll tell you what, though, make you remember it. Listen, that's God's word in your hand. Amen. Never approach that word lightly. Never take it for granted. Never look at it as, oh, yeah, I know that. Listen, I don't care how good you think you know something. There's still some more you can learn about it. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning for the few minutes we have left. I want to share with you some prayer secrets. Prayer secrets. You know, this is one of those things I think sometimes in the Christian circle that we take for granted is prayer. I do. I think we take it for granted. I think we don't really, sometimes we don't appreciate the power and the purpose of prayer. You think about prayer. You know, I read after a president of one of the great universities one time, he said it's more, in his opinion, and this is a guy who had a PhD and many degrees, he said it's more important that a person learn how to pray than it is for him to have an education. It's more important for a man or woman to learn how to pray than it is that they be what we call, quote unquote, a success in life. Because how many know there's some things money can't buy? Isn't that right? There's some things popularity can't get you. Isn't that right? But see, if we understand what prayer really means. And sometimes I think this is, it's kind of like what I was sharing about there out of Luke 5 about putting the boat out. Some of us have done this with prayer. We've just pulled the boat of our prayer life up on the shore because we've toiled so long and we're so weary and we're so tired. And it seems like we're praying and praying, but we don't seem to be able to make any progress and we don't get anywhere. And some others have just come to the conclusion, well, prayer, you know, prayer's nice. It makes you feel better sometimes. But you know, nowhere in the scriptures does the Bible say that prayer is given to make us feel better. I'm not saying that it doesn't, but that's not the purpose of prayer. Prayer, God didn't give us prayer so we just feel better. God gave us prayer for a purpose, to change the environment we're in, to change the circumstances we're in, to see the will and purpose and power of God released in our generation. And if we lose sight of that, if we diminish that, from our wrong understanding or just allowing the weariness of life to wear us down, and we put prayer up on a shelf somewhere, and we, you know, and as soon as somebody starts talking about prayer, we just tune out. See, some of you have already tuned me out because you think you know everything there is to know about prayer. If you do, you're the only one outside of God. Amen. Turn to John's Gospel 16. John 16. I remember thinking about it the other day. I was thinking about my good friend Matt Gober. Has Canaan Land Ministries up in Alabama, out in Otagaville, big metropolis of Otagaville. Great, great, great ministry, ministering to young men now for nearly 30 years, started in 1980. Got a great work going there now. And but I remember when the Canaan Land guys used to be in my home church or when I would go out to minister to them, whenever we said, open your Bibles, and we gave the chapter, they'd shout. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen, these are guys that were the outcasts, you know, criminals, druggies, and all that. And listen, they were more excited about it than the people of God that grew up in it. And I'm going to tell you what, God was doing things in their lives. I'm going to tell you what. Listen, you need to check your passion meter out. Are you passionate for something else more than you are for God? Then something's wrong. And if you don't have any passion for God, then something's wrong. Hello? How many of you know the Bible says that we're married to Him? Well, I'm going to tell you what. There's no guy I know of that wants his wife to be passionless. Without passion. Come on. Man, where y'all at this morning? Y'all out there? Somebody grunt every now and then so I know you're there. All right, John 16. 23. Notice what Jesus says here. He says, in that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Now, let's look at that just a minute. Do you think, now, what do you think that means? Huh? What does it mean? I mean, can we look for the hyperbole? Is there some hidden, you know, thing there that we just can't see. I mean, when he said, "What if you ask anything in my name, he's going to give it to you." Did he mean that? Yeah. Now, wait a minute. You sure? You're sure he really meant that? But of course, that would exclude certain things, wouldn't it? I mean, whatever doesn't really mean whatever, does it? I mean, that's just, you know, that's a metaphor for something, isn't it? You mean whatever really means whatever? You know what? If we believed that, we would just be wild. In our prayer life. The truth is, most Christians I run into, they don't believe that. Oh, they'll nod their head when the preacher preaches on it. But the truth of the matter is, they don't believe that. In their heart of hearts, they don't really believe that. They don't believe whatever. And some people, like I said, they pull the boat of their prayer life up on shore and they're washing the nets. They're not even praying now. Oh, they may throw up a prayer now and then, but they're not expecting anything. They're not expecting anything. Let me ask you, did the last thing you pray for, did you get it? Did you? Two of you did. Okay. Listen, here's the thing. What did Peter say? He said, "Nevertheless, Lord, even though we've toiled, even though we've done this, nevertheless, what? At your word. At your word, we're going to let down our nets." Listen, at his word, we're going to let down the nets of prayer again. We're going to start believing God again that whatever, Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name. Now, here's the key. The key is what? Is the name we ask it in, isn't it, right? The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus gives us access to the throne of God. It gives us access to all that the Father has. Are you listening? Amen. Listen, we've got to get our minds renewed and get faith deposited in our hearts to this degree that we can move beyond all this stuff out here on the landscape of our lives, and we can focus in on that name, the name of Jesus, and focus in on this truth that all that the Father has, He wants you to have. Remember what Jesus said? He said this. He said, if you being evil, natural, carnal, mortal, fallible human beings, if you know how to give good gifts, good things to your children. Yeah. How many of you want your children to have good things in life? How many of you want them to have it better than you had? How many of you want to see your kids sick and beat down and broke and just going through life and just life is hard from day one to the end of their life? Is that what you want for them? Would you do everything you could to bring that on them? No. That's what Jesus was saying. He said, if you, compared to God being evil and natural and fallible, if you want good things for your children, how much more? Let's say that together. How much more? Whew. Does your Father want good things? How much more? Listen. If I said, I got $1,000 here for everybody here, the only stipulation is you've got to come up to the platform to get it. Well, that's too much trouble. I don't think he's really got $1,000 in his bill, in his pocket. Do you, Myrtle? He ain't going to give it to us. See, a lot of times that's the way our view of God is. Oh, listen. He didn't say, come in your name. He said, what? Come in the name of Jesus. Yeah. You know what? What if Donald Trump signed a blank check? Okay? Or he signed a check and put, and he signed it at the bottom. Would it matter to the bank who he made it out to? What would matter to the bank? Who signed that doggone thing at the bottom? Isn't that right? He can make it out to Donald Duck. Long as it had Donald Trump on the bottom. Isn't that right? Because it's who signed the check, not who it's made out to, that matters. And prayer is that way. It's who signed the check. Jesus Christ signed the check. It's not a matter of who it's payable to. That doesn't matter one bit to the bank of heaven. They don't care who it's payable to. Whether your name's Joan or Beverly or Bill or Bob, that does not matter. Amen. It's who signed the check. Amen. He said, in my name. When we pray, you know what we're doing? All we're doing is reminding heaven who signed the check. Amen. I'm doing my best. Hebrews 4. This don't stir you up, nothing will. Hebrews 4. We're talking about prayer. Oh, yeah, prayer. Listen, get the religious stuff out of prayer. The day you start being religious about prayer is the day it stops working for you. Oh, God, if you wouldn't mind. Well, that's not how he said to come. Look here in Hebrews 4. Oh, 4:14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Now, man, you're talking about somebody that's got some clout and a bank account like you've never seen before. That's him. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, approach the throne of grace with confidence. Yes. Amen. King James says boldness. Yeah. Boldness.
Come on. Thank you, Lord.
Boldness.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Listen, man, I'm telling you what, if I had a check signed by Donald Trump, I tell you what, I'd go to whatever bank that thing was on, and boy, I'd be bold. You think I'd let one of them tellers talk me out of it? Well, we don't think this is really Mr. Trump's sickness. Well, but yeah, it is too. I'm going to tell you, if you look, check it out. The money's in the bank. That's my name. That's my money. Give it over. Now, some of you, bless your hearts, oh, okay. I guess it wasn't. See, we need to be bold about prayer. He said, come boldly. Come confidently. Jesus said, if you ask the Father anything in my name. So how do we come? He didn't say come timidly. He didn't say come apologizing. Oh, man, apologizing prayer will get you nowhere. Isn't that right? Be like me again, me going up to the bank. I'm so sorry to cash this check. I know I don't really deserve it. I know I'm not worthy for it. There's a lot of other people that he really ought to gave this money to. So, you know, now that I think about it, you know, just give me a little bit. You ain't got to give it all to me. But that's our approach in prayer sometimes. It's like we're afraid to ask God. Oh, well, I wouldn't presume. Well, you shouldn't presume. But when he said, come boldly and whatever you ask in my name, he said, I'm going to give it to you. I wouldn't be presumptuous if he gave me the check and I went to the bank. Would that be being presumptuous? We're talking about prayer here. He said, let us come with confidence so we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
The answer comes from the grace of God, and it's meeting my need. Mm-hmm. Now what he said, in time of need?
Yeah.
How many of you know, a lot of times when you pray, it's in time of need.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that, because he said, what? He's going to give you grace in the time of need. Isn't that right? In the time of need. So he said, here's the thing. It's the name. Here's what we focus on in prayer. Not so much the need, not so much me. It's the name.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right?
It's the name. You know what would thrill me on the check is not the name of the bank. I wouldn't be thrilled if Donald Trump gave me. I wouldn't be thrilling over the name of First Dudah or whatever. I could care less what the name of the bank is. Isn't that right? I wouldn't be all uptight about that. And you know what? When I went into the bank, they wouldn't care who I was. If it was made out of me, they wouldn't care. Black, white, green, red, pinstripe, they wouldn't care. Would they?
No.
What would they look at? That's what I'm talking about. See, I know this is simple, but I want to get this ingrained in us. Because many times, see, you know, and like the old Chinese proverb, the longest journey begins what? With the first step. This is the first step. If you don't get this, you won't get anything. Isn't that right? We got to know we've been given the name. The name that's on the check of prayer. He said, whatever you ask, what? In my name. Isn't that what you do? If Donald Trump signed that check and I went to that bank, wouldn't I be asking for that money to be given to me because of his name? That's what I'm doing in prayer. I'm asking him. Let's turn over, if you will. Turn to Mark 11. I know this is, you know, you think, oh, Pastor, I know all this. Yeah, but is it working for you? It's not. I want it to work. God wants prayer to work. Prayer was made to work. Prayer wasn't made to make you feel better psychologically. Prayer wasn't made to give somebody some hope. Prayer is made to be answered. I said prayer was made to be answered. I said prayer was made to be answered. If you're not expecting it to be answered, then don't pray the thing. Just don't pray it. Don't pray it until you know that God wants to answer it. Then you pray it. If you're not sure, don't pray it yet. Amen. I don't want you praying for me to make me feel better. Listen, I get the answer. I'll feel better. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That teller hands that money over to me, I'll feel a lot better. Mark 11:20. Well, Jesus used natural things to get spiritual truths across a lot of times. And we all deal with money. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And probably most of us wouldn't mind dealing with more of it. I know I wouldn't mind. Would you? Jesus said, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you received it and it will be yours. So what's the first thing is the name. The second thing is what? When you pray, what are you supposed to do? Well, I sure hope so, Pastor. I'm hoping and I'm praying. Did Jesus say hope and pray and you'll have it? No, he said what? And when do you believe? When I get it. Listen. You know what would inspire faith in the natural for me to go to that bank? When I looked at that signature on the bottom. Holy cow. You see who signed that check? Bill Gates. I think I'd see that name. I'd have faith enough to get to the bank. Wouldn't you? And yet so many times, just like Jesus said, he said, when you pray, believe. You say, but I just have a hard time believing. Well, look whose name is on the check, honey. Yeah. And notice he said, when do you believe? When you pray, not when you get it. Right. Man, I'm rejoicing all the way to the bank when I look at that signature on that check. Lord of mercy. You know, I'd probably call up a few folks on my cell phone on the way. Guess who gave me a check? You'll never believe it. Guess what? Come on. Man, I'd be in faith all the way to that bank. Bless God, I'd be waiting for them to open the door. First customer. Check it out. Look who. You want to have your picture taken with me? Listen, I'm trying to make a point. You know, you laugh, but you know we'd be that way. He said, when you pray, what? Believe. When you pray, believe. What makes that possible? Number one, we got God's word, but we got the name. Look at the name on the check. Why do we pray in Jesus' name? Is that just some religious formula? You know, charismatic witchcraft? Abracadabra, the name of Jesus. Poof, there it is. No. It's legal. Just like a check is legal. Somebody signs that check. They got the money in the bank. They make the check out to whoever they want to. The whoever they want to. Can go up to the bank and they can get the money. Jesus said, my name's on the check. When you ask in my name, you're the whoever and the whatever. It's on there. Fill in the check. He said, then just believe. When you pray, believe. Believe because what? The name on the check. Believe because we're asking what? In the name. He said, come boldly, come confidently, come expectantly before the throne. We're talking about prayer. Boy, I'm telling you what, church starts getting her prayers answered. Hallelujah. You're talking about lighting a fire under you. There you go. Our problem is, again, we got the boat pulled up. Mm-hmm. You think those guys wasn't fired up when they saw those two boatloads of fish? Mm-hmm. They weren't thinking, man, wonder how we'll ever eat all these fish. Huh? Oh, that's just too much, Jesus. Nobody can eat that much. They sold them dudes. And got money for them, didn't they? Sure they did. So, can you imagine their expectancy the next thing Jesus told them? Come on. See, here's the thing. With some of us, our prayer life, you know, is so weak because we've seen very little answers. I'm trying to help you out how to get answers. I'm telling you what Jesus said. So he said, when you pray, believe. Not when you get it, when you pray, believe. Now let's read on down. I'm talking about some prayer secrets here to help you out. Verse 25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him. Now, that's plain enough, isn't it? If you got anything, fill in the blank, against anyone, fill in the blank, what did Jesus say? Sometimes, if it's convenient, when you feel like it, eventually. No, he just said forgive. This is the biggest single hindrance in the body of Christ to answered prayer. We got all this stuff going on with other people, some in and some outside the body of Christ. And we wonder why our prayers won't work. God says it's not going. This is the fail-safe of prayer. You know what the fail-safe is, you know? That keeps somebody from accidentally blowing themselves up. Somebody from abusing something, they put a fail-safe on it. This is God's fail-safe when it comes to prayer. Because if you're not going to forgive, then notice what he says here. He says, you forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. And then he goes on to say, for if you don't forgive those who, what? Who sin against you, he said, neither will your Father, what? Forgive you. So here's the thing. How many of you know you're going to need some forgiveness? And so if you're not willing to forgive and you come to God and you've got aught against your brother and sister, what did Jesus say when you get ready to pray that way? He said, you got to stop right then. Stop. Don't pass go. Don't collect the 200. You don't go any further. What? You got to first go and be reconciled. Amen. And let me just while we're on this, pick up another little thing along here. A lot of people take up an offense for somebody else. You get around somebody and they start talking to you about how somebody else hurt them. And you listen to that long enough. And even though they didn't do anything against you, you take up their hurt. So their unforgiveness gets loaded onto you. It's like getting a virus on the computer. You go on the wrong site. And guess what? You're going to download. You open up the wrong email. You're going to get what? A virus. And the most deadly virus in the body of Christ is this offenses and unforgiveness. This is why God's so against gossip. You know, somebody hurts you, instead of you going and dealing with it like the Bible says, that's why God said, if somebody does something to you, go to them and deal with it and get it done. It can't spread then. But if we get this, they said this and they did that and I don't like this and I don't like that. You get around people that start talking like that, you need to tell them, look, you need to go get that straightened away. I don't want to hear that. Because it's going to affect my prayer life and I need my prayer life to work. I need my prayers to work. Amen. Listen, you're facing the crisis of life. You're facing something that's bigger than doctors, medicine, the wisdom of man. I mean, Gates couldn't buy it if he emptied his checkbook. I'm telling you, you need your prayer life to be working. Amen. And so he says, just forgive. Just let it go. Yeah, but you don't know what they did. Just let it go. Pardon me. So here's the thing. If my prayer life wasn't working, if I wasn't getting answers to prayer, this is one of the first places I'd look. Amen. Amen. People get mad or take up an offense for somebody else, your prayer life won't work. You know why? Because your faith won't work. Faith works by love. Right. Unforgiveness is not love. Amen. I said unforgiveness is not love. Right. Holding on to a grudge or something somebody did to you, that's not love. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Just trying to help you out here. Okay. Well, my time's up. I'm going to have to hang it up. All right. Well, it's 12:02. Y'all going to give me just a few more minutes? Okay. That's all I need. Because, listen, I want your prayer life to work. I don't want you just going through the motions. I don't want to go through the motions. Do you? Man, if we're going to do that, I'm with you. I am ready to pull my boat up. That's all we're going to do. Notice what the fourth thing, okay, we said the name, believe when you pray, forgive, and the fourth thing is rely upon the Holy Spirit. Turn to Romans chapter 8. I know, like I said, none of this is new, but you know, sometimes we need to do a checkup, don't we? Sometimes we need a checkup from the neck up. Romans 8. Verse 26, listen, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness or infirmities. Because what? We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Now, here he says the Holy Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Now, first off, the word translated infirmity can mean anything from actual sickness in our body to just a lack of ability, a lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding. We all have infirmities in that sense, don't we? And this is what he's talking about. The Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. And when it comes to our prayer life, the infirmity is sometimes we don't know how we should pray exactly as we ought. Some things are very clear cut. Some things are not as clear cut. That's why he said he's going to help us in that time of our infirmity. Now, the word help here in the Greek, it means to lay hold together with against. In other words, if I wanted to move that keyboard up there and I asked one of you guys to come up, I said, you know, Don, would you come up and help me move that piano? Well, it's understood. He understands that what I want him to lay hold together with me against the weight of that thing. So the Holy Spirit, in the same way, as we're beginning to pray about something, and maybe we're not really clear, it's not as clear, especially in areas when it comes to direction in our life. You know, do I go to this church? Do I go to that one? Do I take this job or do I take that one? Do I marry this person or do I marry that one or do I not marry? Or, you know, whatever it is, do I take this job or do I not take this job? Which direction I'm going, especially in that area, a lot of times there's an infirmity there, isn't there? Because we don't know, especially if you've got more than one choice, you don't know which one is best. You don't know which one is God. So the Bible says that in those cases, what the Holy Spirit is going to what? Lay hold together with you in prayer concerning that thing you're praying about. And as you pray, the Holy Spirit is going to give you insight. He's going to give you understanding. And He will give you direction concerning God's will for you. Are you listening? Now, there are two ways that this thing can apply. It can apply, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, he said, I will pray with my understanding. Amen. And I will pray with the Spirit. Now, obviously, those have got to be two different things. Otherwise, he wouldn't say, I'm going to pray with my spirit, with my understanding, and I'm going to pray with my spirit. So those are two different things. So we who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues, what is he talking about here? We've been given a language, a supernatural language, ability to speak out. And the Bible says that when we pray, well, let's just turn over there. 1 Corinthians 14. Turn over there just for a minute. 1 Corinthians 14, he's going to talk about this. He said, 1 Corinthians 14, let's pick it up in verse 2. He said, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. Now, what is these mysteries? The word mystery in the Bible, when it used mystery, it's not only something hidden, but it means something hidden for, not something hidden from. It's a big difference. There are mysteries in Christ, aren't there? There are mysteries. Sometimes life presents us what? Mysteries. But those mysteries, although they may be at the moment hidden from me, the truth is, as I pray in the Spirit, they're going to be mysteries that are revealed to me by the Holy Spirit. Notice what he says here. He says, in verse 2, he says, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. Go down to verse 4. He says, he who speaks or verse 3, but everyone who prophesies speaks to men for strength, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. He goes on down there and he says, he that speaketh in a tongue speaks what? Unto God. He speaks unto God. So here we're saying in our prayer language, and this is primarily when we're in our prayer closet, you know, wherever your prayer closet may be, it may be a literal closet, may be your bedroom, may be your automobile, wherever. But we can begin to pray in the Spirit, pray in other tongues. And as we pray in other tongues, there is going to come illumination to my mind. Amen. Illumination will come to my mind. And, you know, as I pray that way, all of a sudden, what? Understanding comes. He said, he goes on down there, around verse 12 or somewhere down there. He said, let him that prays in a tongue pray that he may what? Interpret. In other words, what? Understanding can come to me. So I speak out these mysteries in other tongues, but then what? I get the interpretation when what? The understanding comes to my mind. So, oh, Pastor, this sounds kind of spooky. This sounds kind of far out. It is. It's far, far out. Because it's God.
Amen.
Amen. And so there are times when we don't know how to pray. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. He's going to help us. How's He going to help us? As we begin to give utterance to that language that the Holy Spirit's given us. Somebody says, well, I don't have that. I don't have that ability. I don't have that language. Well, you can have it. You can have it. Amen. You can have it. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for every believer. It's for every person. Amen. All you got, Jesus said, you'll receive power. You'll receive ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Says in Acts 2, when they were all with one accord in one place, and the Spirit of God came in on the day of Pentecost like a great mighty rushing wind. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them unction. And so here's the thing. We can pray in that language, that heavenly language. And as we pray, illumination will come to our mind. All of a sudden, you just know something. I just know this is the direction. I just know this is what I should do. I remember years ago, I was praying about it. I'd graduated from college. I was planning to go to be a lawyer. I was planning to go to the law school, but I just couldn't get a peace about it. It just seemed like all of a sudden all my desire had left me, everything there. And I mean, this is something that since a young age I had planned to do. I was going to do it. That's what I wanted to do. All my studies had took me to that place. I was getting ready to go to law school, but it was like it just wouldn't work. And I'd been saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, so I start praying. I start praying. Guess what happened? I didn't get anything. So you know what I did? I kept praying. I just kept praying. Praying in the Spirit. And of course, in those days, this was over 30 years ago, I didn't know then what I know now. I mean, you think I don't know anything then? Now, you ought to see me then. I was really a babe in the woods. But I began to pray. And in the process of time, as I prayed, I got this understanding and this leading, okay, that God's calling me to ministry. I didn't know what that meant. I wasn't raised in the church. Somebody said, what was your background? I was heathen. What's my background? If that is a background. And so I prayed, and I began to get this direction. God's calling me. God's calling me into the ministry. I didn't know what all that meant. And so God just put it in my path. He said, I want you to go to such and such a Bible school. So I thought, okay, here we go. So here we go. I applied to the Bible school that God was directing me to go to. And they sent it back and said, thanks, but no thanks. Boy, you say, well, what'd you do? That must not have been God. Well, here's the thing. I was so convinced it was, I called them up on the phone. And I told them, I said, y'all missed it. Can you imagine calling up Brother Hagin and telling him he missed it? You know, that shows you how green I was. Wasn't it? I didn't have any better sense. I had to call them up and tell them he missed it. Amen. So they prayed again. They changed their mind. The rest is history. But you know, throughout life, you know, Cindy and I, when we went to on the mission field, you know, I wish one of these planes like you see on the beach, I wish God had sent one by and it said, Nars and Cindy, go to Argentina. Wouldn't that be great? Or if it had your name on it, said, go do whatever it is you're thinking about. But what? That's when we pray in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit helps us. We pray into the Spirit until we have a peace, until there's a knowing that comes to us. This is the way. Walk in it. This is direction to go. But Mitch and Paulette, man, they prayed like, I'm sure y'all prayed a lot in the Spirit, making the decision to come down here. You know, why? Because what? The Spirit helps our infirmities. Because how many of you know a lot of things can look good? A lot of things can look God, but how many of you know you can only do one thing at a time?
Amen.
You know, most of us. So we pray in the Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And then as we learn to rely upon the Holy Spirit to pray for us, and the Holy Spirit will help us to pray for others that we don't know how to pray.
Amen.
The prayer of intercession.
Amen.
As we pray for others. Sometimes I don't know. I can pray, God bless sister so-and-so. And that's all right and good. But, you know, it comes to a point to where they need more prayer than that. It needs to be more on target. It needs to be more specific. It needs to be, more targeted for their need and what they're going through. And I can begin to pray in the Spirit. And I can say, Holy Spirit, now I don't know how to pray. I prayed what I know to pray. But now I'm going to pray for so and so. And I'm going to trust you to lead me to intercede exactly the perfect will of God for them. And I begin to pray that out. I begin to pray in the Spirit. I begin to pray in other tongues. I begin to pray and zero that in, and I target that thing in on them. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. And you know what you're going to see? Results.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
You're going to see results. Yeah. That's what we want, results in God. I want to see, if I pray for you for healing, bless God, I'm not satisfied till you're healed.
Yeah.
If I'm praying for God to meet your need, then bless God, I want it to be met. I don't want none of this charismatic spin put on it. Well, God's waiting, and trying you to see if you really... Bless God, I've been following God 30 years. He knows I'm faithful. I don't put all that spin on this stuff. A lot of times it's just an excuse, isn't it? Bless God, I don't know about you. I prove my faithfulness. If you haven't, that's your problem. I prove mine. You say, oh, Pastor, you've been so prideful. No, I'm just telling you the truth.
Yeah.
I know I've been faithful.
Yeah.
I know I've obeyed God. You say, are you perfect? No, I didn't say that. I never claimed to be perfect. But I know I've been faithful to God.
Yeah.
I know I've followed God.
Amen.
I know what God, So here's the thing. God wants to answer my prayer.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes, he does.
You say, does God not prove us? Sure he has. He's proved me these 30 years and found me faithful.
Yeah.
You read David over there. He said, God, he said, judge me in my integrity. He said, try the reins of my heart and see. Hey, and then, if God tries the reins and he puts his finger on something, do you know how to handle that? Repent.
Yeah.
And it don't take you 10 years to repent.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you, I've had such practice at it, I can do it quick. How about you? Repent. All right, I got to move along here. While we're talking about praying in tongues, we need to use this and take time to build ourselves up. In Jude 20, he said, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And here in 1 Corinthians 14, 4, he said, he that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. What? Edifying your spirit. That's what, that's that same Greek word we get the word edifice. To put up a building. You go to New York City or some great city, and you see what? They've got all kind of edifices put up there, don't they? Big buildings put up. Go down to Miami. They got some edifices put up there. He said, when you pray in the Spirit, what? They said, that inner man is getting in motion. The Holy Ghost is getting in motion. Your faith is being built up. There's a divine dynamo that's taking place on the inside of you. I'm telling you what, man, you're getting strong. That inward man's getting strong. Faith is rising up. Bless God. Then when you get ready to pray with your understanding, bam! Your prayers are powerful. Powerful. I don't want somebody praying some old weak prayer over me. Do you? God help me. Oh, just forget it. I'm just being, I don't want, you don't want that. Man, I was, give me something. Isn't that right? That's who I seek out. I seek out people. I mean, I just know people who can pray. Amen. You listen, you'll find them. And then that's the people I want praying with me. I want praying for me and praying with me. Isn't that right? And here's the thing. We can all be there. We can all go there. Build yourself up. Get in the Word. Pray in the Spirit. Get yourself built up. And man, when it's time to pray, bless God, man. I want people to know when I pray for them, bless God, I'm telling you what, you got something. Some old weak, emaciated, looks like Swiss cheese prayer. Man, I want it to be filled out. I want it to be full. I want it to be strong in God. Amen. All right, one last thing, and then I got to stop because I'm testing your patience here this morning. 1 Corinthians 14:13, I alluded to this, but let's read it real quickly. The last thing, after we build ourselves up, and I've talked about it, but let's read the scripture here. He said, for this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he prays, what he says. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. How many know when you pray in the spirit, your mind just... So what shall I do? I will pray what? With my spirit. And I will also pray what? With my mind. I will what? Sing with my spirit. I will also sing with my mind. So there's got to be two different things he's talking about here, isn't it? If they were both the same. Somebody says, well, praying in the spirit just means you pray louder. No, that's not true. No. Now, you know me. If you've been around me, I'm just a loud prayer. That's my person. That's who I am. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to worship God hard. I'm going to pray hard. I'm going to pray loud. I'm going to fight the devil. I'm just not a 50%er. And I make no apologies for it. I know sometimes, you know, people don't like it. You know, but that's it. But he says here, you can pray with the Spirit and pray with your understanding. So as we pray with the Spirit, then he said, we ought to ask God. I said, God, I want to interpret my prayers. Why? Because then you get understanding. So then what you were praying about in the Spirit, now you can pray about with your understanding.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Yeah. And that's when you get edified, what your natural, your mind. See, the problem is not with our spirits, our mind. Our mind's what gives us the problem. But see, when I get an interpretation from the Spirit in my prayer life, then my mind gains understanding. When my mind gains understanding, you know what? That strengthens my mind. Hello? That strengthens my mental part of my being. And so then, what? That I can use that to bring my mind under submission. Okay, mind, now mind, you know what the Spirit knew. The Spirit knew it. Now, mind, you know it. So you bring them what? Instead of your mind fighting you, you bring your mind into agreement with your spirit. So you get, he said, if two of you shall agree, your mind and your spirit shall agree. Because isn't that the problem? We know something in our spirit when we pray it, but our mind talks us out of it. Well, you don't think God ain't going to hide them. But see, when you get understanding, then your mind says, okay. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. All your mind's looking for is knowledge. Mm-hmm. You know? And if it doesn't get knowledge, it's going to start saying, wait a minute. I need some information. I need some knowledge. Wait a minute. There's a problem here. Wait a minute.
More input.
And so here's the thing. He said, what? That's why we pray that we may interpret. What? That your mind may be, he said, fruitful. How's your mind going to get fruitful? When it gets into agreement with the Spirit. Which is revealing what? The will of God. Prayer secrets. Well, I got to stop. I've abused your patience long enough. Listen, I know, you know, nothing new in what we've heard today. But here's the thing. Let's do a checkup, like I said, from the neck up. Let's do an application of this thing. And let's purpose in our heart. Listen, I'm going to do an examination of myself. Now, he didn't say go examine everybody else. Examine ourselves.
Yeah.
And I want to look at my prayer life and see where, okay, now, you know, all right, I had this down, but, you know, I've kind of pulled my boat up over here a little bit. I need to work on this area a little bit. And listen, it won't take most of us, it won't take more than a few minutes to make the adjustments.
Yeah.
It's going to take you years. He said, Peter, put your boat out into the deep, and Peter died before we could get it out there. No, he pushed it right on out. We can make some adjustments. We may have to make some, but it won't take us long because most of us, we walk with the Lord. We know the Word. Man, we just make that adjustment. Go on. Don't beat yourself all up. Well, I just don't get it. You want me to agree with that when you come around with me? No, you'd get mad if I said that about you. Stop beating yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
Just make the adjustment you need to make. And then let's go on with God.
Thank you.
And I wouldn't be surprised if you didn't have some things you might need to pray about once you make those adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Come on. Are we going to believe what Jesus said? Whosoever can ask whatsoever in my name. And who did he say he's going to do it? You're going to do it, right? No, the Father. Who's going to answer the prayer? All right. Let's get it straight. Who does the asking? Okay. Whose name do we ask it in?
Jesus.
We can ask whatever. Isn't that right? Who's going to answer the prayer? Okay. Father's going to answer the prayer. Isn't he? Ask the Father in Jesus' name whatsoever. Believe when you pray, and the Father's going to do it. That's not too complicated, is it? Let's do it. Yeah, and forgive. That's right. Make sure we forgive. So we need to examine these areas and look at it and say, okay, God, you know, if I've hung up my nets, if I pulled the boat up, if there's some unforgiveness there, we're going to deal with it. Would you stand to your feet? I'm going to pray over you and give you an opportunity to do this, and I'm going to let you go. Hallelujah. You've been so patient. But you know what? This will help us. I said this will help us. This will help us. But here's the thing. It only helps you if you do it, right? Got to do it. Got to do it. Got to be doers of the word. Father, right now we examine our hearts before you. And Lord, we're going to make any adjustments that you show us. Lord, if we need to forgive, we're going to forgive. If we need to let go of, an offense we took up for somebody on behalf of somebody else, we're going to let that go too. And Lord, we're going to put our boats out into the deep. Jesus, we're going to put our boat out. We're going to launch out in the deep because you say so. Not because we think we're something. Not because we've got it all together, but we're going to launch our boats of prayer out into the deep. We're going to ask, oh God, big things. We're going to ask on behalf of others. We're going to ask on behalf of the kingdom. We're going to see prayers answered. We're going to see mighty things done because we're going to ask it in your name. We're going to do it because you said so. Because you said so. We're going to let down our nets. We're going to stop fishing, Lord, with a rod and reel. We're going to let down our nets in prayer. We're going to have a network of prayer here at this church. A whole network of prayer. Going out, oh God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, while your heads are bowed, just one more moment. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if my life is right with God. I'm not sure if I died today that I would go to heaven. I'm not sure about my relationship with God. The Bible said this. It says that Jesus came. He lived a perfect life as the Son of God. He went to a place called Calvary, and there he shed his blood. He bore your sins. He paid the price. And the Bible says that whoever will call on the name of the Lord Jesus now, they will be saved. They will be forgiven. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I need that forgiveness. I want to put my faith in Jesus as Savior. Please pray for me. If that's you, would you lift your hand up? I want to give you an opportunity, and I'm going to pray. I would ask you, please don't move while we're giving the altar call, please. That grieves the Holy Spirit. Sister, could you wait a minute? Anybody that needs prayer? I'm sorry, did I see a hand anywhere? Okay. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time together. We thank you for your love and your blessing upon us. We thank you, O God, for all that you're doing in grace and through our lives. Father, use us this week. God, we're going to put our boat out. We're going to launch out into the deep because you said so. Because you're with us. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.